Welcome to our Monday Night Memories special edition tonight. 1999 Purdue Women's Basketball National Championship Team, brought to you by Chariot Auto Group. And of course, Nate Barrett and the good folks at Twin City Dodge Chrysler in Lafayette. We also want to thank our special guests, of course, and four key players on that team. Stephanie White, of course, the National Player of the Year in 1999, Macari Figgs, Katie Douglas, Camille Cooper, and of course, coaches Carrie Kermeens, Pam Stackhouse, and Seth Kushkin also join us. Some lively conversation, a little bit off the cuff at times. A word of warning, there's one swear word in there, but telling a story that is fun, but also a very special perspective by this group, as it also can relate very well to what the Purdue men's basketball team is going through as it marches on through Detroit, and hopefully, if you're a Purdue fan, at least to Glendale, Arizona. So enjoy the show, and appreciate our special guest here on Monday Night Memories, brought to you by Chariot Auto Group. Welcome to our Monday Night Memories series. This is a special treat for me, just because this is the most esteemed basketball team in the recent memory of Purdue basketball, and maybe the most fun. I don't know. I haven't had been privy to all the texts behind my back here, but I'm glad that this group has joined. They don't need introductions, but I'm going to try my best to do.
Wait,
this.
Did you say recent? Because we not
yeah, recent.
Recent.
25 years is recent.
Is it?
Oh. Okay. But we're going to go through this is a privilege for me to be able to spend some time with the 1999 National Championship Purdue Women's Basketball team, and we'll talk about a lot of things, and they may talk amongst themselves as much as anything, but and we may have some jump in and jump out. Steph White, and I know, has got a busy media time here as well, as many of you are probably watching her on television with the NCAA tournament and, of course, the NBA. But I want to go around the horn here. I think maybe the easiest way to do is just to start with the first question. I just, you know, you guys have had some celebrations. You've been back to Mackey for at the start of this year. Many of you had the opportunity to do that. But now you're now into the, you've got to, at least 25 years ago, right now, this was tournament time. This is when you were making your run. This is when no one, everybody thought you couldn't beat North Carolina, and you did. But I just wanted to ask you, I want to start with Steph. I'll start with you in terms of, now you look at through the perspective of all the basketball you played and how special this group was, but just that mental toughness that you guys seemed to show, overcoming a lot of things in your college career to get to this level. But how do you put that through at that 25-year lens, Steph?
You know, I think we had great perspective at the time, too, just in knowing that it's unique. You know, Yukari and I were a part of a lot of different teams, and we knew that that team was different and that team was special. You know, and having been a part of other teams and coached other teams, and, you know, I've never quite been able to recreate the bond that we had. The chemistry that we had, and so 25 years later, I think it just speaks to really how incredibly unique it was to do what we did with a special group of people, to go through all the ups and downs, especially for Yukari and I, throughout the 4 years of our career, you know, to culminate in ultimately the reason that we went to Purdue was to win a national championship. So I think it just you know, I think continues to humble me anyway, and in a sense of, you know, we did something that was really, really difficult, but at the same time, the people that we did it with is what made it special.
Yeah. And clearly having to overcome adversity and being able to do that in a way that you did was remarkable. Kari, I want to go back to you and your perspective. Is came in the same time, had to deal with a coaching change, had to deal with three coaches, right? During your tenure. You have gone on to do many good things on your professional life, as well as everyone in this Zoom call has. But what did that teach you from that standpoint? And just, yes, perseverance, but there was more than that in terms of being able to get to San Jose and win the whole darn thing, and be able to look back at this and say this was something special. How do you take that?
Yeah, I think similar to Steph, I think at the time you don't realize how special it is. And, you know, for us specifically, going through those three coaches in 4 years was pretty difficult. Players leaving, new players coming in, and, you know, just having all of those changes. But I think, you know, the perspective 25 years later is definitely about the perseverance. I think, as Steph mentioned, it's about the people and the relationships and the stories. And, you know, a lot of people look at everything that happened under the spotlight, but there was a lot that happened behind the scenes. And, you know, just the dedication, I think, that everybody specifically on this call and just on that team, and then, you know, not even just our team, but the staff, and, you know, down to the people who were in the office answering phone calls, right? I mean, everybody was locked in, everybody believed in each other. And I think, you know, for me, it gives a lot of perspective just on life, right? It's like, a lot of times, like, of course, Steph and I went to Purdue to win a national championship. We didn't think we were going to go through three coaches to get that. And I think, but in life, it's like, you know, when you deal with situations, you know, life always is giving you something that you're not ready for or maybe not expecting. And, you know, for me, it gave me the perseverance, or just the thought process of, hey, things may not be going the way I want them right now, but if I stick with it and, you know, get the right people around me to support me, that I can get through it. And I think, you know, again, I think Steph alluded to it, but it's like, you know, the people on this call, the people on this team and this program are people that, when life does throw curveballs, they're the people that I pick up my phone and call or text, or they're the ones already calling or texting me, which is, you know, just huge. I mean, the championship was awesome. But this group, this family right here is more important than a trophy.
Yeah, and it's very evident to those of us that get the chance to observe you. All right, Katie and Camille, I want to ask you. You were not latecomers, but you were two classes behind. But take me through, Katie. I'm going to ask you about losing in the, was it the Elite Eight the year before or Sweet 16? But that, taking that moment from that point forward, and then saying, you know. And maybe it's a better question for Steph and Kari, because they would have been seniors walking this. But taking from that moment forward and saying, all right, we're going to win the national championships the next year, or what do we have to do to get to the next level? Katie, I'll start with you, even though you're in the gloaming there, which we're enjoying.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, honestly, like, from the time that we lost that game my freshman year, I honestly didn't understand the magnitude of that game. And then once I kind of got the lay of the land, I understood that we had a chance to go to the Final Four, and that didn't happen. And then I think when Carolyn announced that this was her last year, I think that just, like, the sense of urgency, like, her Carolyn's phrasing and verbiage was urgency. And I think that we knew that that team was literally that year. And we had Steph and Kari as our seniors, as our leaders. So there was just that urgency, and, like, the key phrase that we continued to, like, really, really hone in on and use. So I think that kind of helped us kind of catapult us from my freshman year to the sophomore. Precious, because we knew that that team was no longer going to be that team going forward after that year. So I remember, you know, going to Europe. I think we all remember that European trip, and that just kind of that we had my sophomore year. So I think it was all about the timing and knowing about urgency. And, like I said, that now is that from Carolyn and from Stack and from Carrie and from Seth, just using that term, and knowing again that this team was no longer going to be apart once that season was over. So we just literally were trying to achieve our goals, which was win a national championship.
Yeah, Camille, you look at that, and again, I obviously watching it from my perspective, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of togetherness in this group. But again, that just getting over that hump, which you knew it was going to be there, but Did you have, I mean, even the one loss that you had at Stanford, which you had a chance to have a perfect year, but looking at that and that natural progression, did not doubt, I don't think doubt ever got, from what I can remember, doubt that was never, at least from a media standpoint, was ever front and center. But take us through your mindset as you were making that conversion from that freshman to sophomore year and helping be a key part of this team and taking to the national championship.
Well, I think we had a lot to learn, our freshman year with the whole new class coming in. We had great, strong leaders, obviously with our coaching staff and support along the way, but with the generals and captains on the floor who expected a lot of us on the court, off the court. We'll tell you about yourself if you weren't. So I definitely agree, that sense of urgency, but also call to action. I don't know, at least I didn't know how good we could be after that first year. So it was almost like, oh yeah, we could have went to the Final Four. This is the year, this is the team. And I think there was a call to action for everyone to continue to lock in and to get better, especially as our freshman class over the summer. And I think the motivation of being counted out, or I think we were called toast, at some point. We used the, I guess, the negativity, the criticism, those who didn't expect us to be there, we used that as motivation and just fire because it didn't cause us to doubt ourselves. It motivated us to prove, on the largest stages, that not only had we worked to be there, we had a right to be there and we were going to win.
You did, Carrie. I want to ask you just from the assistant coach, from the assistant coaches and staff standpoint, it couldn't have been easy. I'm sure none of it was easy, just because Carolyn was going to be done. I mean, she did stay, and I know there's a lot of story backstory to that as well. But talk about just that role and how you guys were able to hold that together, that mentality together, to keep this unit together in a very interesting, challenging coaching situation. Carrie, I'll start with you, but I'm going to ask Pam and Seth the same
Sure.
thing.
I think it's Stack and I, we often joke that we could train any first year head coach. Yeah, we had Nell first, and then we had Carolyn, and then obviously she announced that she would be leaving, and we were devastated on that European trip. I mean, we needed that trip to come back together because as a staff we were a little bit separate. But after that trip, we all came back together, and we knew what we had before us. We knew we had something special. And the relationships, the love that we all had for each other as a staff, and then also to see that with all the players as well too. But as a staff, and I look at the staff and the players, and everyone knew their role, and it was never about an individual. It was always about the whole. It was always about the team. And we always knew each other's role. Our starting five, oh my goodness, the role that each of them had, and they never stepped outside of that. They knew who was to score. They knew who was not to score. They knew who was to re I mean, all the roles just lined up, and it was just a magical year from all that Purdue provided us, to the community, to the fans, to the sellout crowds, to, I mean, it was just a magical season, and you saw it just continue, continue, continue. And obviously we had two leaders just destined to win that national championship. And as a staff, we were young, and we often said, hey, let's not overcoach them. Let's let them do what they do. And we honestly provided probably very minimal. We sat back and watched quite a bit, I would think. So I think we only ran a couple of plays in the national championship game. So we just had talent, a talented group, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
Pam, I'm going to jump in front just one half second, and just to say, with especially while Steph is still here, the whole notion of having leaders like those two and walking into that, it didn't make your job a piece of cake, but it certainly gave you a lot of confidence, I would guess, to have those
Oh,
two folks.
absolutely, Alan. We those two handled things in the locker room. I'm sure things happened. I am sure they did. But as a staff, we did not have to handle it. They took care of it. It never came to us. And that, what a gift as a coaching staff that we could just coach. We could just coach. Those kids were ready. They came ready. They came ready for practice. They competed. And but they took care of it in the locker room. And I'm sure the younger ones had fear of that. So there was nothing getting in their way.
And scars, fear and
Yeah.
fear, scars,
And
and some healthy
scars.
motivation, right?
Yeah.
Pam, fire
Trauma.
away
Trauma.
your comments.
Yeah, I think it
Awesome.
just, I think, Alan, it starts when you talk about Steph and Kari having played for three different head coaches. I always think about it. And when we went back, in November for the 25th celebration, the team asked us that in the huddle. And I said, trust comes to mind with this because they talk about scars. They could have been really jaded, right? I mean, they've been left, they've been disappointed. And all along, they allowed us to become a part of their lives, right? I mean, and we came in, we were nobody, like, and we were young. Kari asked if we were 16. I said, no, we were a young 21, but seriously, like they trusted us. I don't know why. I'm really I don't know why they did, but I think trust infiltrated the team. So I think when you have leadership, when you think of any relationship, if it doesn't have trust, it's not going to survive and it's not going to manifest. And I think the leaders of this team had trust in us. We all had a connection in different ways. I think Carolyn and Kari had a connection through her recruitment at Kentucky. I kind of had a connection with Steph through Monica Maxwell. And so even before we got to Purdue, we kind of had connections a little bit, and they opened their hearts to us. And I think we loved them, we challenged them, we were their biggest cheerleaders. And I think it's trust, and it's not a very complicated situation. They trusted each other. They didn't care. When you trust, you don't care who gets the credit, to Carrie's point. Nobody cared who got the credit, and it was magical. I went on and coached several more years, and it never even got close to the dynamics that that team had. And I'm sure Steph and Kari and Katie and Coop and Seth and Carrie, and we all went on to different things, but we never were able to recreate something so magical. And I think it was, and I'll just finish with this. I think this is what happened. Outside forces were attacking us in 1998, 99, right? They were calling us a lame duck team, Carolyn a lame duck coach. It was just a lot of outside forces. And what that team did is it forced them to come together as opposed to splinter apart. And it could have very easily happened that way too. They could have remained angry at Carolyn. They could have remained, it was their choices, and they took the choice to trust each other, trust us, and it was magical.
And I want to add just to that a little bit, because I
By all
think to
means.
that point, to that point, it really shows what a true family that we were. Because just like any family, it's like, yeah, everybody has their stuff, right? Like siblings and with parents and aunts, uncles, cousins, or whatever. But at the same time, like you might attack each other, but as soon as somebody from the outside starts to try to attack you, you circle the wagons and you have each other's back. And I know I think that's just what through all of my experience in sport, I don't know that I've had a group that's ever felt like family, except for that group. And we worked hard to be that. We worked hard to maintain that. And that's what made the experience so unique and so special.
Seth, I would jump in front in terms of your experience and being around these bunch of women that were very, very what I want to use the tough-minded, competitive, loving, clearly. That's a good thing too. But what do you talk about your experience and looking back the lens of a quarter century makes it seem like a long time. 25 years. Tell me
Yeah,
about that.
I mean, 25 years ago, but it seems like it was yesterday. And I'm sure Carrie and Stack could tell stories of 1997 when I got off an airplane to come interview and be a part of their staff. And from the very beginning, I'm not sure what they were getting into or what I was getting into with Carrie and Stack and Carolyn, as a team. But I knew from, moment number one that it was the right place for me, and the team accepting me and allowing me, to step in as a young guy and the only guy, minus our practice players. Thank goodness for them that I had a few other guys around to keep me sane at certain times. But coming out of that first season and going into the senior year of Steph and Kari, I mean, I think we probably spent, 3.5 months just preparing for Tennessee, knowing that that was our first regular season game. And that game alone, I think, proved to everybody, not only ourselves, but to everybody else out there that, what this team was capable of. And as well as we played and as much as we prepared for, a start of a season like that. But it, they're everything that each of, these are saying all of the years since that we have coached and been in other professions and done other things, but to have the family feeling and being back in November and those that were able to make it, it was like we had walked away from there 5 minutes ago, not 25 years ago. And that's what continues, to make that team so special and to be a part of this group so special.
Yeah, one thing that I'm glad for posterity standpoint, the documentary that was done on this team is the best, one of the best documentaries I've seen in sports. I mean, just to me, and again, not on the inside, it captures the essence of all of you. Steph, I know you've got to hit the road here relatively soon, but I wanted to ask both you and Kari just on that whole the leadership quotient here, because as Stack and Carrie talked about, just the whole notion that you guys were. I had a lot on your shoulders just because not only with Carolyn coming in, having to talk to, I'm guessing you had discussions with Morgan Burke on down the line. Talk about what that experience was, what was, because yes, your coaching staff was a little older than you, but not a whole lot, and not a lot from an experience standpoint. What was that like? I mean, as you look back at it in terms of what did you know? Steph, I'll start with you and then go to Kari. Go ahead.
Kari, you can go first.
Oh, Kari, go ahead. Fire away.
No worries.
That's a good question. That's a loaded. Maybe I was a loaded question. I don't mean to pick it up. Go
It's
ahead.
got a lot going on in there, but
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it
yeah,
does. I'm
I
sure it
think
does.
definitely, for me, I think, Steph and I were actually thrust into a pretty big leadership role at the end of our freshman year when Coach
No
Dunn,
doubt.
Left, and then players left, and we didn't even know if we were staying at the time,
Yeah.
and how many players would actually be able to be on the team. So I think we got thrust into a pretty big role as at the end, like I said, of our freshman year, and it kind of I think prepared us for what we encountered sophomore and junior year. But I think, from, just the experience that we had both freshman year, and sophomore year, we had Janon Rowland, who was also a great leader on that team our sophomore year, but she also allowed us to lead as well. And, when you think about, and I wrote down, about, Amy Schaefer, Danielle Bird, and Shayla Potter, if it wasn't for those three players along with Carissa Yason, we may not have had a basketball team our sophomore year. So, it's things like that and the relationships, and we went through a lot of adversity, that sophomore year.
Oh, yeah.
And Nell was new to coaching. We were, we had a kind of a ragtag team put together, but and a lot of people didn't expect a lot out of us even our sophomore year, and we earned a part of the Big Ten title that year. So I think, for me, I think as things continue to happen, it just helped me as far as seeing as a leader, again, things aren't moving exactly where you want them to go, but as long as we as leaders continue to move everybody in the right direction, that it'll work out. And, the last thing I'll say is just as far as Steph and I, a lot of people, when we were being recruited, tried to recruit us against each other. You know, everybody told me, oh, you don't want to go to Purdue. Steph's from Indiana. You know, you're never going to get to play. She's going to be the top person, you know, whatever. And I'm sitting here thinking like, well, I guess you don't really have a whole lot of confidence in me as a player. I mean, and of course, Steph was an amazing player, but I'm sitting here thinking like, wow, thanks for letting me know that you don't think I'm good enough to, you know, be a top player at Purdue. But, you know, for Steph and I, we had met each other, got to know each other, and, you know, we have similar motivation for things and decided to come to Purdue together. So I think, you know, for me, I had that trust in her from the beginning. We came to Purdue for a reason. And, you know, at the end of our freshman year, we both could have left, but we both decided, you know, got together and decided we were staying and we were going to stick it out. And I think, you know, as leaders, that to me was the big part of us kind of, you know, being able to lead the freshmen, being able to lead the sophomores and other people that came up through the program.
Yeah, Steph, yeah, and for you, get wet.
It's funny, even now people ask about our team, and you know, Yukari and I, it's like we're always a we, right? Like it's not, you know, whenever we talk about our team, or any experience that I ever had in throughout college, I'm like we, because Yukari and I are like one entity. And you know, I think so much of learning about leadership is also learning what you don't want to do. Right. And we learned so much our freshman year about what we didn't want our experience to be like, what we didn't want our teammates' experiences to be like, and what kind of leaders we wanted to be. Now, we were far from perfect, but I think we tried to lead by example. Number one, I mean, we were pretty principled, you know, direct, not playing outside the lines kind of people. And I think that's why we worked, you know, in doing it together, you know, and it just, we wanted it to be certainly about basketball, but we also wanted the experience to be really good for our teammates, and we wanted it to be a selfless experience. And I hope that we led by example in that as well. But from our perspective, it was like, we never want to experience this again. So we're going to do what we can. As far as being transparent and communicating with our leadership and our coaches. And I think while they were young, you know, they were really far beyond their years in terms of what it meant to have two-way, like transparent, honest communication with players, because so many coaches wanted control of everything all the time. And hearing Yukari and I, and telling us, you know, this is why we can, or this is why we can't, and being open and honest with us, helped us be better leaders, in terms of not just vocally, but leading by example. And so, you know, I think it really was just the perfect mesh of people, to help us all be better at what we brought to the table.
I just had the good fortune of reading Pat Summitt's autobiography and talking about a controlling coach. A phenomenal coach and an all-time legend. And I loved her book. But I think about that turning point in that game against Tennessee. And Katie, I'm going to ask you if you're still, I think you're still there, that notion of that game, and also just the fundamental difference between, and I'm not saying you guys, your coaches were not a bunch of slackers, but it was a different approach. I mean, didn't appear to be you had to all work together to get this done. I think that seems to me to be clear, but Katie, if you're still there, give me your thoughts about the Tennessee game, but also how that propelled you guys moving forward. And then we're going to finally talk about what it was really like in March, but go ahead.
Definitely. We had a staff of slackers. I just want to put that out there.
There you go. I opened it up for you.
Definitely slackers.
Hey, Alan, and the reason you can't see her is because we're seeing her best pose. Like,
yeah,
that's Katie's best side right there. You can't see her.
There you go. Linda. No, she's not backward at all.
Listen, Linda. The Tennessee game. I think honestly, what I can remember, because I'm old and my memory is going.
Like, she partied back, a lot in college.
Yeah,
I did that too. What I can remember was the Tennessee game was just a statement game. I think throughout the entire season, but starting with Tennessee, I think everybody on paper was like, oh, Purdue's not this, they're not that. Like, on paper, they're not as talented, yada, yada, yada. So I think that we really took that to send a message. I think, you know, the crowd was absolutely phenomenal that game. I can remember that. I can remember high stepping down the court with Steph. It didn't matter. Like, to some of y'all's credit, like, we didn't care who was scoring, who was assisting. Like, we did not care. It was just to send a message that we're Purdue and we're here and we're going to win the national championship. And this is our mindset. So I think that game really kind of just was a statement game for us as a team to give us that confidence to kind of have us go on throughout the rest of the season. You know, to your point, to March, it was a kind of turbulent European trip, but I think to Carrie's point, we kind of came together, decided like, hey, we can go one way or we can go the other way. And I think we all bought in. To Sec's point, we all trusted each other and knew that the urgency was now. And that game was, again, a statement game. Tennessee was the powerhouse of women's college basketball. Everybody wanted to be on Pat Summitt's team. We were kind of like, oh, you know, we're just Purdue. You know, we've gone through multiple coaching changes. We don't have a Pat Summitt per se. But just to let everybody know that we were here and we're for real. So that's what I can remember. And just the energy of that crowd and that atmosphere and just I guess the sensation after winning that game. Again, you know, football players were rushing the court. We were so excited. But again, I think that kind of just set us up to have that run throughout that year.
You know what? I have to cut in a little. I remember about the game after we were waiting to get to shoot around and their team wasn't getting off of our court. That's what I remember most. I think that gave us a spark of motivation because it's like, okay, we're getting it outside. Now you're on our court. Making their own statement of sorts. But definitely remember, you know, just the energy of the crowd. And we had nothing to lose, but everything to prove.
Yeah, I think that might be an underlying theme of this entire outfit, that you're a fun group. But the second is, don't slight you guys. That was a mistake.
And that was
on any way, shape, or form. I did, you know, reading Pat's book, or the world revolved around her. She's just such the center point of so much of women's basketball from the get-go, and everybody's kind of been touched by her, and yet to have that chance to do that was extra special from that standpoint. All right, coaches, I got to give you a chance to take that, your memories of not only that, but also I want to get into that, the run in March, because we're in March, and obviously Matt Painter's men's basketball team had a big day today and has made a big step forward, obviously, to the Sweet 16. But that mentality of still keeping that edge with a one loss season and a number one ranking going into the tournament. I mean, after winning the Big Ten tournament, what was that like? Carrie, I'll start with you on that, just in terms of how you now look at that and making that March run.
Yeah. You know, just to touch on too, just the coaching family tree that we came from was the Pat Summitt and the Leon Barmore. And the four of us, we had something to prove as well. Yes, we were young, but we were trained by those greats before us. And so that was something that just within us, and we weren't a big staff back then. You had just the four of you. We were tight. We did everything together. I think we ate every meal together. And I think that really trickled down to the players to see the love that we had for each other, the trust that we had for each other to trickle down to them. But as you go into March, it's the adrenaline, all the feels. Back then we were VHS and we were good at clipping some VHS tapes to prepare that film for the kids. And you just turned it on. Once you knew who your opponent was, the sleep was irrelevant. And I mean, it was just a gear that it's just unmatched, that feeling and that preparation for the players. Obviously, we wanted them to get all the rest and get their travels prepared. But as a staff, you just turn it into a whole nother gear to prepare the team.
Pam, your recollections, because it had that focus was extra special in terms of that. And yet there is that wonderful world of expectations, because all of a sudden you go in number one and you've beaten Tennessee during the season. You've run roughshod through the Big Ten. How did you guys manage that with a group of very confident and obviously skilled players?
I think it began, Alan, at the beginning of this. Well, it really began at the end, the loss to Louisiana Tech and Lubbock, Texas, yes. Right? It began then, right? When I say we as in the young women on this call, started to bind together. I think Carolyn's announcement threw a wrench in that, right? But as we've already established, the European tour helped bring us back together, but it also did something in Carolyn as a leader as well. And we became, I don't know if you've realized this about the two leaders on this call, Steph and Kari, they are process driven people. Right. And we started every game. We stopped putting names on scouting reports and we just focused on us. So it would be, so if we're playing a team, it would be opponent three. And it wouldn't say a team's name. And Carolyn started to make it about what we could do. And so all of this stuff that we kept talking about, and it's so much clearer today than when you're in the middle of it, right? But I'm thinking back that was very, very smart, because all the outside forces coming at us, lame duck coach, all the things, she's here. We even did that in our scouting reports, that we were just focused on us. And it was intentional from Carolyn's perspective, and it was brilliant. I mean, we can look back today and say it was brilliant, because the players bought into it. I mean, we used scouting reports. They were very process driven, but I think it began with that. One of the things I often think about is that how did we make them become such a family? I don't know that we knew we were doing that intentionally. I think it was just to keep us focused on the task at hand. The scouting reports were not about someone else. I mean, I don't even know, Carr, if y'all can remember, did we even put names or just numbers of players? I don't even remember, Seth, Carrie, but we just focused on our job, what we could control. And that became a monumental thing too. I don't know. Those are some of the things that stick out. It began far before March, right? I even want to say it began back when we, Steph and Kari's sophomore year, when we lost to Old Dominion in the NCAA tournament. No one thought we could go that far. And we go down to Norfolk, Virginia, and take Old Dominion down to the wire with what most people would say the bad news bears, right? We were the bad news bears. We had three players. We had Steph, we had Kari, we had Janon Rowland, and we went in there like we thought we could win it, and we almost did. And I remember the coach then, she was a Hall of Famer, talked about how much heart our team had. So I think when you think about a championship, I think the foundation was laid each year. I was only there three of Stephen Curry's years, but I think it was a foundation that was laid brick by brick, year by year, trial and adversity by trial and adversity, and how the team just responded to it. And it just culminated into that magical season. And we were just worried about us. And I think that was a very special and unique thing that helped our team just focus on us.
I mean, I think one of the great coaching and certainly with Steph and Kari, that 97 season was incredible. The fact that you were able to get a share of the Big Ten title. And yeah, we certainly wondered if you were even, like I said, not being flippant, that you're even going to have a team. And that was an unbelievable story, not equal to the 99, but certainly one worthy of in all time when you look at teams and how you got something done. Seth, you look at that too, and again, looking at that perspective of building, and you know this in coaching, foundation and getting the pieces together. Did you think about that after you beat Tennessee that, oh, wait, we do have all the pieces? Or did you know you had all the pieces even before that? How did you internalize that and then go into the NCAA tournament and take care of business, you know, dominate North Carolina, struggle a little bit against Rutgers in the first half, as I recall, yep. And then took things over in the second half. But tell me about that.
Well, Stack just kind of finished what she was saying. I don't think there was any doubt that we knew how good we were. We knew what we were capable of, but I'm not sure anybody else in the country ever believed that we had the ability to do what we were doing. And that went all the way down. You know, once we got into the NCAA tournament, we're number one in the country, we're the top seed, and still everybody talked about everybody else but us. Once we beat Rutgers and our next game, once we were up against North Carolina, I mean, before we went into North Carolina, it was, they're too athletic, they're too fast, they're too good. I mean, it was all talk. And I think we were up 25 or 30 at halftime, you know, of that game. And I'm not sure it was until that point that anybody outside of our basketball family believed that we were as good and capable of what we were, you know, set out, what we were all setting out to do. It was, you know, it was truly a tight-knit family that we have, and just had to stay within, you know, our own beliefs and our own work ethic and how we trusted one another.
All right. In your mind's eye, I'm going to throw this out to anybody that wants to answer first. And that is Mimi Griffin walking onto the bus. And what was that really like? Were you delirious? What was that like? I mean, in terms of that, who would like to answer that?
Katie, I think that's you.
I remember like it was yesterday when she walked on that bus, because I think she was a little speechless because she had no idea what to say to our team as we were sitting there after that North Carolina game.
It's called groveling, Alan. She had to come onto the bus and grovel. Yes, because she had counted us out. And I mean, you know how all the talking heads do once the bracket comes out and you look at matchups through the bracket. And Mimi surely did say that when we got, if we advanced to the North Carolina game, that Purdue would be toast. And so Katie loved that. And I can't believe that she stepped away
this time.
Yeah, I think that was an all-time comment that clearly, and I'm glad, Pam, that you, because I did such a poor job of setting it up. If you didn't know the story, Pam articulated it perfectly, that her coming on the bus, but saying that on ESPN, I could imagine fired you guys up just a shade from that standpoint.
Be careful about the talking head stick.
I know, and Steph, making such a good living doing that these days. But I would never call you a talking head. All right, take me to halftime of the Rutgers game. And I, if I remember, you're playing against another legendary coach in Vivian Stringer. Not that that mattered necessarily, but again, a game where there was some doubt at that point, at least in my mind, sitting there in Redbird Arena, and you just was there a moment where you put that into full gear, or was this just part of the plan? And I'll throw that out to Steph. What do you recall from that? There's Katie, by the way.
Kate, we missed you. Missed the Mimi Griffin.
Oh, sorry.
We were set up for you.
Sorry. And what are you? What fine Katie, bottle of Cabernet are you drinking, Katie?
Some Camus.
Oh, good for you.
Because she's poor.
I know. She's drinking Caymus. She's poor. There you go.
Mm-hmm. I had to go check on my children to make sure they were asleep because mommy's tired. So I apologize. I had to go check on the children.
And we teed you up perfectly and you were gone.
Yeah, sorry.
The question was about Mimi Griffin and your response. Did you holler something at her sitting on the bus? What was that what was that like for you?
I just told her to fuck off. I'm just
there you go.
I'm kidding.
Now on YouTube, I'm going to have to put explicit, but that's okay.
I would never say something like that.
I know you would never would do anything like that. Steph, I cut you off though in terms of the halftime of the Rutgers, and maybe this is media talk here because it may have meant nothing to you guys. You thought you were in good position, but you know, a program like you guys had built to such a high level, you'd gotten through Carolina. I get that. And was there another gear that needed to happen, or was this going to just happen organically by just the skill level of this basketball team?
You know, I don't really remember a whole lot about that game. I think there was so much energy and emotion that had gone through in the Sweet 16 game to just prove a point. But we were also a team that was incredibly locked in, you know, all the time. Like, I don't know that, I think it was the year before where we went into almost every halftime, like behind. Right. But we were never a team that felt like we weren't going to win the ball game. I remember they played a zone. I think, I remember Tammy Sutton Brown on the inside, you know, just taking up space and, you know, a lot of physicality. But I don't remember a lot about a turning point. I think we were just pretty locked in focused group that never felt like we were going to lose the ball game and knew that, when we had to make plays on either end of the floor, that we would make the plays that we needed to put ourselves in position to win, because we were not a team that was going to go home, the same way we did the year before. And I think we just knew that in our minds and we were a tough group and we refused to be denied.
And that was, and the rest was history. So the moment, Kari, for you and of knowing that, taking that exhale and knowing you're going to the Final Four, we're not even talking about San Jose yet, but just that feeling of all unfinished business, your perspective, or was that an exhale moment where, you know, we're here and we're going to get this done? Take me back to that feeling.
Yeah, I think I can't remember the point in the Rutgers game at this point, but we were struggling, like Steph said, to hit some shots from the outside, and I can't remember who hit a three, and we went up. Coop may have hit a basket or and one inside, and you know, I think as Steph said, like we never, you know, honestly, in any game we played, we never, whether we were up or down or whatever, we just always continued to fight through and do what we needed to do. So I never felt in that Rutgers game like we were going to lose. We just had to adjust our style of play. And I think that's what most people didn't really realize about our team is, you know, just like with the North Carolina game, we can run with, if you're going to run up and down this court and shoot threes and score layups, then we can run with you. If you're going to slow it down and play us, you know, man to man and be physical, we can do that too. And I think, you know, that to me was just the adjustment we had to make in that Rutgers game. And, you know, our coaching staff stuck with us and gave us the right plays and things to do down the stretch. But I think, you know, when this clock started ticking down, I remember looking over at Steph and just thinking like, man, we finally got here. But at the same time, I was thinking, but it's not over, because, you know, our goal wasn't to get to the Final Four. It was to win a national championship. So I don't even remember. I don't remember cutting down the nets. We might have, but I don't remember cutting down the nets in normal. I don't know. Did we? But did. I don't think
I did. Steph was on the cover of our magazine. I remember that. Yeah,
I don't know if I got up to cut it down, but I just remember thinking, like, let's not celebrate this. Because yes, we got one more step, but we got two more games to win. And, you know, that was just, you know, kind of that thing that Katie was talking about, just about being in the moment and being in the present and not, you know, forecasting too far ahead, but thinking about, okay, all right, one game down, we're at the Final Four. Now we got two more games to lock in on.
And you took care of business from that standpoint. Camille, you get to San Jose. You're playing with, not that you didn't have, you had offensive capabilities and it did and contributed so much, but you had three of the finest in Big Ten and NCAA history playing on your team. That confidence level of what your role had to be heading into the Final Four and playing big, so to speak, but also knowing you had all the weapons that you probably needed to get it all done.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember after every game, you know, like Kari said, it's not time to celebrate. It's what's next.
Yeah.
You know, who's next? And we went into preparation mode. I remember having to just step up. I'm like, play defense, stop, you know, Michelle Van Gorp, and step up big. And I think one thing that's special about Purdue is the history and the tradition. And so I recall talking to a former player like Stacey Lovelace, like, what would you do, you know, against the All-American? You know, here I am a sophomore. So I don't know. I think we were still like what we've already discussed, just be in the moment, you know, give it our all. And, you know, I listened to stories from others and I realized how protected I was because I didn't have to deal with all the issues in the back office. I just had to show up and play hard. And I think the sentiment from that team is I always knew that one of my teammates had my back. Always. If I got beat or I'm stepping up to help, I knew Steph was dropping down to help weak side. So I don't know. It was just a confidence that I think we had all season. And it was just like, all right, what's next? Even after we won, I thought, okay, what's next? You know?
And I'll step in real quick because I think, Camille, of course, we won a high school championship together and Camille kind of downplays her presence, but there's not a lot of people her size and with her athletic ability. And the thing I think that Camille gave us, I know at least for me on the perimeter, if somebody got past me and tried to go down the lane, they were going to get blocked. And it gave, you know, me and I think maybe the rest of the guards an extra sense of being able to know that, hey, you know, we can pressure up, we can, you know, guard these players, but if they get in there, Camille's got our back. And I think, you know, for me, it was pretty awesome to watch Camille, you know, her growth from high school to college and obviously be able to win another championship with her. But I think, you know, like I said, she kind of downplays her role on the team, but, you know, without a 6'4" post player with the presence she had, we wouldn't have won the national championship.
And I remember how nice it was just to have somebody to pass the ball to, like right up at the corner of the backboard. Like every time teams started to try to play a zone, like that diagonal pass, the coop, every single time. I mean, it was like she made our lives easier, certainly on the defensive end, like Kari just mentioned, but offensively too, because not every team, and we played small, but Coop was our big, right? So we could throw it up there. She would go get it. It was a nice luxury to have.
Play with great guard. Still thankful.
Those were those athletic.
And I'm paying all of you by the hour, so I told you we'd keep to an hour, but we have I got a couple more things I want to hit on, and I appreciate all of you hanging with us because it's a lot of fun for me and certainly for our audience. But I'll start with you, Carrie, on the whole. Was it, when you look back at that road to the Final Four and the Final Four, did you have time enough to have, you look back at, I mean, you won, so it was fun, but was that preparation, was it more stress than fun? I mean, I'm trying to also kind of put this in the terms of what the men might be dealing with here heading into the Sweet 16 next week in Detroit, but how do you keep it fun? Was it because you guys were a fun group that kept it that way, or how did you guys view that?
We didn't have fun
there. Alan, we didn't have social media.
That's so it.
We celebrated every win as if it were a national championship. Yeah. So we
didn't even have cell phones.
Yeah.
Let's we be barely serious. Had internet. Camille and I brought the fun. Kari and Steph were not the fun. Camille and I brought the fun. True statement.
I know as a staff, we celebrated every win. Absolutely. And maybe that came from Nell Fortner, because we did the same in that first year as well, too. And then, of course, Carolyn kept on that tradition as well. But we sure did. We celebrated every win. Obviously, in March, you have less time to enjoy that celebration. It's a different speed and a different mindset on the amount of time that you have to prepare. But we enjoyed each other. And I think that that's just, again, I think celebrating those wins just showed just the relationship that we had together. We were tight. We had each other's back. We were going to be there for each other. And that carried on into, you know, just our everyday lives as well, too. So, and you saw that it just wasn't on the court. It was off the court. It was off the court with this group of kids. And I'm sure they had their, if we could go on for two more hours, they could share all of their stories of what took place off the court, but they handled their business. We know they had a good time, but we know they handled their business.
Had to worry about that too much. Pam, any your thought on that? Just
no, I was just thinking
memory
like
of the road.
Yeah. We, you know, they talk about no social media carries right. Right. I think just to continue to echo that, we were best friends, like our staff, we did, like, we just didn't work together. We played together. We hung out together. We drug him. I feel bad for Seth, right? But we were, and I think, I don't want to speak for the women on the call, but I think they were friends too, right? Like, I don't know that student athletes, if their teammates are their best friends anymore. I think, you know, I'm an administrator now, and I hear kids talk about now their best friends are their parents, or, you know, they can't wait to get off the court to call somebody outside of the group, right? Or they can't wait to get off the court to look at a tweet or an Insta, anything that's happening externally. And I think the difference with the 99 team is they were more concerned with internally. And I think we've addressed that in multiple ways, but it was all internally. I don't know if they hung out 100% together, but they weren't looking to dart out of the locker room when practice was over or game was over. They enjoyed each other. They enjoyed each other. They still love each other today, to Kari's point. I mean, you're still, we do have another text going, but it's not about you, Alan. It is about other things that we're still celebrating. And it's not about you. It's just that we have another, so it's still a thing. And I think that's what's happening, what happened then that was different than a lot of teams today. I'm just my two cents about that.
Well, 25 years later, it's fun. We get to celebrate with you and not just hear your stories.
Right, exactly.
You'll get to watch film with us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bible study. Absolutely.
Seth, anything else to add?
As you were just talking about the, you know, kind of moving towards the Final Four and those final games, we didn't prepare any differently than we did all year long. You know, that my office back then was a closet in between Carrie and Stack. I think I had about 2,000 VHS tapes and 50 VHS machine, and we did everything by FedEx. You know, it's a whole lot different now than what it was back then, but I wouldn't have changed living in a closet for the time that I was there for, you know, for anything. And it was when we prepared for Louisiana Tech and Duke at the end of the season, it was the same preparation that we did all the time. We did it as a staff of four, and we knew, you know, what we needed to do to prepare and what we needed to share with our team. And we knew that they would go out there and take care of business, you know, once we, you know, kind of passed the pieces on to them that we felt that they needed to know. And that's what made our life awfully easy as a coaching staff.
I think the one other thing, if I might interject, being on both sides too, is we also all stayed in our lane, right? Like, I think one of the things, you know, Carrie mentioned our roles. Yeah, it's one thing to know your roles and to play your roles on the floor. It's another thing to stay in your lane and know that we're players and we execute the game plan that they give us. You know, if we see things that might be able to help us, then certainly we'll ask the coaching staff or suggest things to the coaching staff. But and that goes back to Stack's point of trust. I mean, you know, I think we were all kind of brought up in a day and age where it was like, you trust your coaches to put you in position to win, and it's your job to go out and to execute what they give you. So we didn't question anything. You know, we knew that they flew a little higher when it came to understanding scout and game plan, and they gave us what we needed to prepare, and we it was our job to go execute it. So, you know, and I think that's another important piece that's missing a lot in today's, you know, athletics. It's everybody wants to have a say, or everybody wants to question or challenge, or, you know, all that. And you can have opinions and you can give feedback. But at the end of the day, your job as a player is to go out and to execute what your coaches give us. And as a coach, my job is to do what I'm told to do, as you know, from a general manager or an administrator or to whatever, and to put our teams in position to win. You know, there's a lot of blurring of the lines, you know, now, and there wasn't that, you know, some of that social media, some of that parents being the best friends, some of that, you know, listening to everybody else. And I felt like, you know, while we didn't have social media, there were still a lot of voices, but we did a good job. And I think had enough of maturity as players and student athletes to keep our circle tight, to trust the ones we knew, you know, had our best interests in terms of our goal. And to limit and minimize distraction.
Yeah. And I can't imagine. I mean, Kerry Stack and I have been off the sidelines for a little while now, but when I look at benches and what a makeup is of a team now, and, you know, 10 coaches or development, whatever they are, all over the benches, I just want to go back to the four of us and the small team that we had, and know that was, you know, that was your group that you were, you know, going to battle with. I can't imagine what it is like now, and how you even build relationships the way we were all able to, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's it. The last thing I'll do is speak poorly of Matt Painter and staff, but he's got Sasha Stefanovic coaching the out of bounds plays, and which is a great thing, and how it's all evolved, but a different time. All right, two last topics. One, who
Alan, this is, Alan, one thing yes. is we weren't paid like Matt Painter is being paid.
No, I understand.
When you're making that kind of money, you want somebody coaching the out of bounds plays so we can get it right. Yeah. You want somebody because you want to maintain that salary. So it's a little different.
And I would like to have been Steph's agent.
You were on his like hourly rate.
Yeah, that's true. But I wanted to be all your agents for NIL money. I still think you guys would have made, like you said on the front end, would have made a killing on the front end of all of you would have. But especially
I might not have had to have two jobs.
Yes, I think the West Lebanon folks, you could have had them all. All right, now this is a silly question, but it may be more relevant to today's time. Who wins Purdue 1999? Iowa 2024. How much do you beat them by, and how much does Katie Douglas or whoever's defending Caitlin Clark is stopping her, to holding her under 20, probably under 20 points? Who wins that game? Who wants to start to give me some insight into who wins that game? Or is that just a dumb question?
I defer to the talking head. I defer to ABC.
And I will not cut this up and use this as a meme. This will air, but I will not cut this up. Steph, if you say, I guarantee you that we'd have beat them by 30, I won't say that. I understand there's
I won't
a social
make
media.
Steph answer. I'll give an answer for Steph and I, and it's we would have won. She wouldn't have scored 30 points.
Because I'm all defensive, Kari.
Katie might have guarded her for a little bit, but she may have let her get
I would have wore her down, and then we would have put her on Kari. Like to wear me down.
There you go. But no, yep. I think that's the thing with our team and you know, the scouts and things like that is, I mean, she is a phenomenal player and, you know, does a lot of great things on the court, but I think, you know, for our team, we weren't just a bunch of players that could score. We had people who could defend as well. So, I mean, you got Kate, you could put KT or me, Steph, you probably wouldn't have guarded her. You would have been, we would have let Steph.
I would have been in help side.
We would have let her arm.
Steph would have had her fingers pointed.
Stay in my lane.
But you even got Michelle Duhart, right? Who was a four player.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Guarded her. And so anyway, I think, you know, she's a phenomenal player. I do think this team had a lot of weapons and had a lot of people that could have tried to put a stop to her scoring.
She's a player. Like, I'm a fan. I'm trying to get season tickets. I still haven't secured, but I'm a fan. As a competitor, though, with the 99, no, 97, no way. She's not scoring 20 points. I'll give her 20, but after that, I'm not giving her, and we're winning. Because I've watched almost, and I mean, I will admit, I've watched a lot of Iowa basketball this year, which is very painful for me to admit because of my family relations with my brother-in-law being an Iowa fan. It's really hard for me. But I'm a fan. I'm trying to go watch her play this summer. I'm a super big fan of hers, but I know that the group that we had, that she's going to get 20, but to a lot of Alter's point is we're going to have the game plan and we're going to have the strategy to minimize her effect. And, you know, maybe it's her to get 20 or, you know, I've told people that ask me all the day, every day, you know, how are you going to beat Iowa? I'm like, well, hey, let her have 50 and let everybody else have two. Like, okay, she can go off for 50, but if nobody else does anything, you know, but I know that this group, you know, playing and just the mentality that we have, you know, I think that, okay, we win. And, you know, to be seen, again, you didn't ask the question, but unfortunately, I don't think they're going to get to the Final Four. Steph, you can speak more to that, but I don't think it's going to work out for them. And I want it to work out for them, but I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, I think their team, just having been around their team for a number of years now, they remind me a little bit of our team just because they're tight, just because of what it's done with the community, for the community. You know, it really does resemble our team and our community. You know, and so I always kind of feel a little kindred spirit with them because of that. But who's, I'm going to tell you what. What's that?
Who's their top seed?
It's UCLA and LSU are 2 and 3, so one of those two will win and go on. But what I would say is, from a scout defensive standpoint, we could guard three different guards three different ways every possession. Go over one, under another one. You know, ice a third one.
Yeah, good.
These players can't do that anymore.
That's right.
You got to have one scout defense for everybody and then change it for the next person and change it for the next. I mean, there are very few teams that can execute a scout defense. Hell, there are players who don't even know right from left.
Mm-hmm. There's players that don't even know what you're saying when you say go under. They're like, what?
Exactly. So I think, you know, we were a high IQ team who could do multiple things in a lot of different situations. And I think because of that, gives us an advantage, you know, on the defensive end of the floor. So we're going to have multiple game plans that we can execute that make your life difficult. And sure, she's a great player. She's going to make plays. They've got great players on that team. But I think that gives the old heads and the old teams a little bit more of an advantage, because these players play a lot of games. They don't watch a lot of games. And they're not always able to execute a lot of different schemes. And so I think the game has come so far in so many ways, but that is not one of them.
Hey, and I think, Steph, you and I can speak to that, like, to that point, like, we in college and in the pros, like, we can change all that stuff. And the players nowadays, they, to your point, they're very limited in their schemes and in their preparation. Because they do play a lot of games. They're just not as maybe mentally prepared as I felt like our team was. We could change things for each individual player. To Steph's point, on that scouting report, it was number 55, and we're going to go under. Number 24, we're going to do that. Like, we knew exactly what we were going to do for each individual player. And from what I've seen in college and in the professionals, you've got to be much more uniform You cannot Vanilla. Give. Yeah, you cannot. You cannot do that. And I think that that's definitely something that we hadn't touched on. That that was something unique of our team, that we were a mentally high IQ team. Again, to what I said, on paper, maybe not the most talented, but definitely mentally and basketball IQ superior.
Well, I think from an inside view, definitely we would have won. Take more than one or two players, you know, to beat our team, complete team effort. And if she got past the guard, she had to come inside and, you know, try to block every single shot. You know, but if anyone came and, you know, thought they were going to beat us, or any of that taunting, I think that would have inspired us even more. Would send them home with an L. So I think we would have pulled it out.
One thing I thought about as we were talking about preparation is knowing that Mike, our scouting, I can't remember his last name, would have
James.
Loved
oh, yes. Games.
Mike Games would have loved playing Caitlin Clark in practice. So he was I think that to me is something, you know, we talk about preparation, and those guys, man, they came in every day. Played hard. I mean, played us most days harder than we really wanted them to. Never let us take a day off. And, you know, they were part of our championship team and the reason why we were able to lock in and do kind of like Katie said, you know, going over one person under another. I mean, if Seth or the coaching staff told them to do something that day, they were doing it. If they said fire it up every time you touch it, that's what they were doing regardless.
Yeah.
And they made us have to really lock in. And anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. I said, Mike would have loved that challenge of being Caitlin Clark. Just to,
you know, just to go back to the preparation, the players, they were wonderful students of the game. But as Kari was saying to our RIP squad, they would watch film. They would prepare. They were up in the coaches' offices. They wanted to know each player, the scouting. They wanted to know the tendencies, just as our players did. They wanted that information. They wanted that knowledge. That knowledge gave them confidence on top of just their ability. And you know, obviously the greatness of them is just as a team, but that knowledge, all of that knowledge, they were sponges for it. And they knew that it would give them that extra edge.
As our talking head alluded to, we were students of the game. And I think our what Carrie's saying, our RIPs were student of the game. Yeah. And I think Seth, wasn't it Todd Roush that watched film over the summer knowing we were going to open our 99
Green, season, we called it Green.
Yeah, against Tennessee. And he watched film. He watched Tennessee's game against Louisiana Tech. And where all of their shots came from in the Final Four, a practice player did that. That's how invested these guys were in our success. Came in, brought it to Seth. To Carrie's point, we implemented a defense called Green. And that's really one of the reasons that we were successful that day in Mackey Arena. But that it all began that everyone was a part of the success. They felt a part. The team made them feel apart. The coaching staff made them feel apart. The RIPs got Smarties, just like you guys got Smarties when y'all were sad. So everybody, it was truly a championship for not just our team, to Kari's point. And Kari has spent 25 years trying to get the RIPs a national championship ring, because they were that invested in us.
Everyone was valued.
Yeah. That seems, again, from the outsider view, that's why you guys were good, because you seemed to have an attention to there's somebody bigger than you. I mean, you all were big and all important, but it took everybody to get it done. All right, one of you can go into the men's basketball locker room before Purdue goes to Detroit this week to face a team it's already beaten in Gonzaga. What would be your message to them going in? And not that they need coaching. They've got excellent coaching. We all know that. But just talk about from your experience to what their experience needs to be as they hope to be the next Purdue team. And I know the 2001 team came within one half of a smidgen to win the national championship too. But talk about that and what that message would be if you, if Matt called you up and said, come and address our team. Here's what I'm going to say. What are you going to say?
I'd probably,
silence is going to be,
I would probably tell them, I think one thing that we never did along the way was just change who we were as a team. You know, we didn't put in new offenses. We just made sure we knew exactly how we wanted to run the things that we did and how we wanted to defend the way that we just stayed who we were. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I see as an athletic director now, coaches all the time that change things in the big games and try something new or different. And I think from beginning of season to end for us, and, you know, I would think for Matt as well, it's, they're pretty talented who they are, and they just need to, you know, concentrate on doing the things that they do, the, you know, the very best that they can. And they'll, you know, certainly it's a tough matchup to go against Gonzaga with what they just did to Kansas recently. And, but a great opportunity and just continue to maintain, you know, and stick with who they are as a basketball team, and they'll come out on the right side.
Anybody else want to interject there? Anybody, any other thoughts as you look at that situation? A lot of fun to watch here in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, boys.
Hello there. Gary's got her gang there. What? Anything else?
For me, it'd just be believing in the people in the locker room. I think, you know, there's always so many people that have so many things to say and ideas about how Purdue can win, or like Seth said, things they could change. But, you know, ultimately it's about those players and that staff and, you know, having that belief in each other and in yourself for one, and then the person sitting beside you. And I think, you know, that was a thing that I never doubted throughout that entire championship year, was doubting whether the person beside me had my back or whether they believed in me, because I do believe that, you know, that was a big part of us being able to win.
I thought Matt, what he said in his presser, I don't know if it was yesterday or about, like, you don't have the luxury of taking anybody for granted, right? Like, right. We've learned that lesson, and take those days where you learn that lesson in the bitter moments from the NCAA tournament and use that as motivation. Like, you can't look ahead. You can't look behind. You just got to stay locked in to every moment and every possession. So, you know, I thought what he said was critical, because oftentimes as young people, you know, you're looking ahead, you're looking to the next, and the one right in front of you nips you in the butt.
All right, parting shot time. You all get it's the internet, so you can talk. You can filibuster for 2 hours if you want. But I'm going to go around the horn as I see you. I'm going to start. I'm going to point to Carrie Cremines. Oh. Put this in perspective. What's the last thing you want to say to your dear friends here regarding that great experience 25 years ago?
Oh gosh, Alan, I could get emotional talking about the that experience, but I think it's I think maybe Carr, one of them nailed it. You know, it wasn't about the trophy. It's not about the net, but it's about these relationships. It's about our, the friendship and the love that we have for each other. We can call each other at any given moment and we are there for one another. And yes, basketball brought us all together. Purdue brought us together. And my goodness, I love it so much. I'm living back at Purdue, but, you know, it's always that trust, that bond. We created it and it will never leave us. It's forever ingrained in our hearts and it will forever be. And 25 years later, it's no different. We can laugh with each other. We can tell stories. We can joke with each other and we can raise kids with one another. And It's neat to see that it's still so the same. And I'm not sure if any of us have ever experienced that again yet. So,
Kari, you're up next.
Yeah, I just say, man, thanks for all the memories, all the fun. There were definitely some tough times, some crying and some tough times throughout that season and also over the years. But I think, you know, for me, it's just knowing that, you know, I can, like Carrie said, pick up the phone Most of the time before I even pick up the phone to ask for something, somebody's already calling to check in or whatever. And, you know, that means a ton. And, you know, the championship was amazing. And it was such, you know, it's just an experience you won't forget. And, you know, like Seth said, it's 25 years, but it feels like it was 5 minutes ago because, you know, all the stories and things just come back as we're talking about it. But this group right here, I wouldn't have wanted to do it with any other group. There could have been a lot of other people at Purdue because of all the turmoil and changes, but it was awesome to be able to do it with this group right here.
Katie, give me some words of wisdom here as you close.
Oh, my goodness.
You're asking a lot.
I
told you she had a brain.
She may not be coming back.
Exactly. Seth, there you go. The most responsible one. In the group.
That was her words of wisdom. Fair enough.
Yeah. Right. That's the best.
I mean, I think, you know, we all feel so much the same. I was just lucky enough to be brought into this family, you know, 27 years ago, you know, to be a part of it. And when a bunch of us were back together in November, we were FaceTiming with those that weren't able to be there, and you know, just the smiles and the joy, and you know, just jumping on this phone call and, you know, seeing faces just brings back those smiles. Camille and I had some, you know, some times when I was coaching her, you know, during those couple of years, but they were, you know, days and moments that I'll remember, you know, forever. And I think now it's those times that we see each other's families and talk about our kids and the things that we're doing, that we are, this is the group that we want to be able to share all of those things with first and foremost.
Steph?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is just, you know, in the moment, I don't know that I really appreciated how much joy I got from this group. But now, I mean, everything from, every time a text came through at our text exchange, I was smiling, like I was happy. Like I think the genuine love that we have for one another, and whether we talk to each other through March Madness and then not again for another 6 months, and then in 6 months, you know, something happens and it's, or 9 months or a year even. I mean, it just, when we do, it's just like no time has ever passed. And, you know, I think when you think about relationships in general, just, you know, how much I love these guys and how special this group is, and you know, how much joy that I get from just being a part of their lives, and you know, every time one of them pops up on the phone or we do something like this, it just reminds me, you know, how lucky and blessed my journey has been to be able to have these guys in my life.
Well said, Pam.
I know, but
oh, well, I just wanted to let you know I got a text from Katie. Her phone died. So there you go. The most responsible one of the bunch.
Just the pressure moments now.
That's right. There you go. Just wanted y'all to know that. Just an update. I think Carrie said it. Basketball brought us together. Family has kept us together. I'm with Carrie. I could get really emotional because to me, we've kind of watched Steph, Kari, Katie, all of them just grow up to be fabulous women, like powerful, wonderful women, representing Purdue University in such a fabulous way. I mean, engineer, lawyer, talking head. Katie, a business.
Well, you're not living that down, Steph.
Yeah. No, but yeah, seriously, the things that these women have gone on to do in life is really just a fraction of what we saw them play out on the courts in Mackey Arena. It didn't change who they were. They were these women then. They just didn't have the experiences. And that's really why we were so successful. I mean, what they've done in their lives is who they were as college student. And I don't know why the Lord has blessed me to be a part of their lives and to be a part of Purdue University in a small way, 7-8 years that I was there. But I'm very grateful, and I'm very grateful for each one of the faces on here, even yours, Alan. Thank you.
Fair enough.
They are very, very dear people in my life, and I love them all dearly.
Camille, you get to bring up the rear here. Go, fire away.
So not fair.
I know it's not fair. I was going to ask you how you would defend Zach Edey, but I'm not going to ask you that. I was going to lighten the mood some, but go ahead.
Not fair to go fat last and listen to everyone, but, you know, just ever grateful, you know, ever true to this team, this university, and I mean, thank you is never enough, but I thank everyone on this call and the whole Purdue, you know, community for just the impact on my life beyond the court. Of course, it made me a better player. You all believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. Made me a better attorney. Come at me in the courtroom, you know.
Makes me want to do that.
Love it.
But, you know, also makes me a better mom. And you know, we talk about trust on the court, but I think we were able to trust each other because I knew you cared about me. We cared about each other beyond the court. You know, the coaches, you know, we were like their kids. You know, so this team continues to hold such a special place in my life and the transferable skills and lessons I've learned from it. You know, but also as I raise young student athletes, you still are my role models. You still are the people I look up to and refer to and just, you know, thank God for the special blessing of you in my life and hope my kids are as blessed as I was to be around such great people.
We look forward to the 30th, 35th. 40th, 45th, 50th. The bars will be open when you get there. We know that. Not that that's the whole point of what you guys like to do, but it's part of it. And we thank you so much. And be very honest, in my years of doing this, you guys did such a job that is so important and relevant now, even to Purdue, and is setting a standard. And no matter what, I don't care if it's if Katie Gerald's team can look back at what it needs to be someday, or Matt Painter's team, or Ryan Walters, or on down the line, this was the most unique of groups. And I wasn't as close to covering you guys, but we watched you and appreciated you, and the legend has grown over the years to where it is, and I think it's going to continue to grow. So thank you so much for your time today, and we all also a special moment for the great Tiffany Young as well, and I know that that's an important part of this story as well, but we thank you so much for your time and wish you well and can't wait to see you back. And Carrie and I are going to start having coffee like every other week now, but since she's in town, but we enjoy that, and it's a privilege for me to have had the opportunity to talk to you guys for the last 1 hour and 37 minutes. So I didn't think we'd make an hour. I thought there was no way that was going to happen. So Steph, thanks so much too. Good luck to you this week and all that you're doing. Good luck
Thank
to
you.
All of you, because you all have busy lives and accomplished ones at that, but thanks so much.
Alan, thank you for bringing this
you all.
Thank you. I enjoyed it so much, guys.
Love thanks, y'all. You guys.
Love two you. More Big Ten teams tomorrow.
Let's go. Be ready. Be ready.